Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk all news, comics, and media related to the Transformers. This week, IDW has announced a new series. We talk about some new Transformers shoes, and we review King Grimlock number 3. Today is Friday, November 26, 2021, and this is episode 261 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that's taking King Grimlock's crown. I'm your host, Charles, a.k.a. Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, a.k.a. Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
The amazing and awesome producer and editor, Mike.
This crown is mine. Mine.
And Daryl, the Cybertronian beast.
Hello. Let's talk Transformers.
All right. As always, we start off by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who support us on Patreon and PayPal and help keep the show going. This week, we welcome a brand new Donatrion, Gabriel, to the ranks. Welcome, Gabriel, and thank you so much for signing up. For all you Donatrions out there, we've got the next uncut bonus episode of Empire of Rust, and this is episode 64. Mortalis's Advocate. This is an early episode exclusive to Donatrons. Will be out Monday, November 29th, a week before the episode hits the regular feed in its more edited form. So if you just can't wait for the next installment of Empire of Rust, here you can listen to this bonus uncut episode immediately. If you're a Donatron, that is. Only if you're a Donatrion. So, Gabriel, you've got it. You have access. Another perk of being a Donatrion is that you are automatically entered into our monthly Toy Hacks drawing, which we will be doing very soon. So you need to get your entries in before Sunday, November 28th. So if you become a Donatrion before this Sunday, or you send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com with a picture of the Transformer toy you'd like to get labels for, then you will be entered into the contest for the November drawings. We're giving away a $10 gift code from toyhacks.com. And this is for November 2021. So we'll be drawing that very soon. Check it out. And last bit of news is I am going on Nerdstradamus, our friend of the show and co-host, monthly co-host Dr. Pants. That's his show. They are very much more focused on video games, so they invited me on to talk about all things Metroid, and particularly Metroid Dread, the newest game in the series that just came out last month. So. I haven't done as we record this, I haven't done it yet, but by the time this show goes up, I think it will be out. So we'll have a link in the show notes so you can find it and enjoy. And I'm looking forward to it. Let's jump into Transformers Comics news. So first up, we've got an Amazon pre-order for the King Grimlock hardcover. This is scheduled to come out in June 28th, 2022. So this will collect all five issues of the series. We're only up to issue 3 so far. So issue 4 and 5 are still coming out on the pipeline. I don't know if issue 4 will be out soon, but hopefully issue 4 and 5 will be out by the end of the year. But if you want to wait until next June, you can get the whole thing in a hardcover. So, and the price is something. I didn't look. I didn't click the link. The price is $24.99. So $25. We've also got the Beast Wars Volume 2 trade paperback. That's also available for pre-order on Amazon. This collects issues 7 through 12 of the Beast Wars series. And we're currently up to issue 10 so far. So that'll be by the end of the year, we'll have those issues. And this trade paperback is going for $20 on Amazon. And then we've got solicitations for the month of February 22. So these are upcoming comics. First off, we've got Transformers number 40 and Beast Wars number 13. So those two ongoing series are continuing. And then we got a special announcement, and this was through Games Radar. Weird outlet.
Well, Games Radar owns Newsarama now, so it's from Newsarama.
Okay. So why didn't they put it on Newsarama? Why did they put it on their game?
Because Newsarama.com now doesn't exist. It takes you to a subsite on Games Radar.
Okay. Well, anyway, this is a brand new mini. They've announced a brand new mini series starting in 2022. This is Transformers War's End. This is an event. This is a companion to the ongoing Transformers series written by Brian Ruckley. This event will also, this mini series will also be written by Brian Ruckley with art by Jack Lawrence, who is currently doing the Wreckers Tread and Circuits series. So he'll be jumping over to this series to continue giving us some more Transformers content. So Transformers War's End, an interesting title, but this is now we finally are, I think we'll be getting more of the backstory of the War of the Threefold Spark, which was the previous war that happened in the past that informs a lot of what's going on in Brian Ruckley's Cybertron in the ongoing series. So it was funny reading this article. I think this was like the most clear and concise information about what the War of the Threefold Spark was and who Exarchon was. Like we get drips and drips of this character mentioned in the comic, in the main comic, but we never got really any kind of full backstory on what that was. So it's interesting that it gets this little news article gives us that. But, we've been reviewing the main issues. We have the last issue we reviewed, it was revealed that Exarchon was still alive and was, had taken over new Transformer bodies. So I guess this will be continuing that storyline and seeing if Exarchon is coming back and actually is going to take over again and maybe even upend the Decepticon and Autobot War. So,
I think this is I'm interested in this storyline. I do think the whole Exarchon subplot is interesting, but I think we needed to be given more in the main series. Like I think it's been drip fed to us for a long time. So getting a little bit fuller picture of that and that backstory, I think will be interesting, and hopefully it'll be action packed series. So we'll see.
All right. Well, that's all our comics news. So let's move on to our comic review.
All right. This week we are looking at King Grimlock number 3. This is written by Steve Orlando. Art is by Augustin Padilla. Colors by Jeremy Caldwell. Letters by Jake M. Wood. Editor is David Mariette. Assistant editor is Riley Farmer. Supervising editor is Tom Waltz. Cover A of this book has Grimlock raising his sword and saying the magic words, "Bawi Brana Weep Ninny Bong." And this is by Brian Lee. And really, it's just him raising his sword. But cover B shows Grimlock in battle. This is by Augustin Padilla and Jeremy Caldwell. And then the retailer incentive has Grimlock fighting through a horde of beasts. And this is by Alex Milne. So, Mike, which one of these three is your favorite?
None of them are bad at all. They're all pretty decent covers. I think I'm going to go with cover A. Only because Alex's art is filled with all of these like organic enemies, and while they look good, I have just they don't appeal to me at all. Grimlock on there is really good, but he's just covered and hidden by all the stuff that's in front of him. It's like I can't see anything good on this really. I'm gonna go with cover A, just because it like I said, it's Grimlock himself is just kind of too hidden and wrapped up in the RI. But yeah.
All right.
I like cover A. Nice and epic.
Cool. All right, Charles, how about you?
I'm going to pick the retailer incentive. I am a fan of Alex Milne's artwork, and I do, you know, despite the it's mostly these kind of monsters surrounding Grimlock, I like the composition and I like the pose here. It actually reminds me of a cover from way back in the early IDW days when there was a Spotlight Galvatron comic, and that had this similar pose where it was Galvatron being surrounded by all the, you know, kind of characters from the movie and other characters dragging him down, and it had a similar pose. I think that was that was also an Alex Milne cover. So it just reminded me of that. But I like that. I like this image, and I like all the monsters dragging at him.
All right. Well, Daryl, am I wrong in thinking that you're going to pick the RI?
No, you're not wrong. I also like the Alex cover. Yeah, all that stuff is happening all in the foreground with all the different monsters and stuff that Grimlock's fighting. But there's a face in the background too. You know, you kind of miss that. And it's it's a great cover. There's a lot of characters in this cover here. Yeah, they're all kind of organics and beasts and monsters, and there's a couple humanoid characters in there too. He's just
is that a Shredder I see in there?
It looks like Shredder. It does look like Shredder. But there's a lot of stuff going on in this, and Alex is one of those artists that can make this all kind of make sense. So yeah, RI for me, please.
All right, cool. And yeah, and this does reference something that happens in the book. I think this. He probably had a lot of fun getting to do organic stuff, but I would also pick the RI. There was just so much going on in it. And like you said, there is that red face in the background too. So. All right, let's get on to the review. The story starts in the Rotlands, where the Red Wizard is raising another one of his undead warriors. One day, he's even sure that the Golden One is going to join the ranks of his Red Clay Army. In the village of Angloria, Grimlock has finished training the locals into a fighting force. He now deems them ready to go and to bring the fight to the Red Wizard directly. However, one of the humans has heard about him abandoning Arco and her father and asks if he's going to do the same with them. But Grimlock replies that if they don't give up the fight, he won't give up on them. Elsewhere, Arco is adding pieces of a fallen woodbot to her armor while condemning both Grimlock and her father. She now realizes that neither of them showed what true strength is, and she regrets not seeing it sooner. Grimlock has led his makeshift militia to the Rotlands, and the Red Wizard's dilapidated castle stands before them. As they discuss the lack of defense, Grimlock hears a familiar but twisted sound of the woodbots transforming, and the fight is on. The army and Grimlock fight through these creatures when the ground starts rumbling and Grimlock is faced with the undead red clay army of the wizard. Grimlock transforms into his dino mode and he tears through all comers, woodbot and undead alike. As the last one is defeated with a satisfying splat, Grimlock looks back to see the Anglorians have survived and hope, and he sees hope for their future. Then he busts through the castle wall and faces the Red Wizard. The wizard monologues a bit about how Grimlock is no match for him, but the more he talks, the more Grimlock recognizes a familiar voice. This is no wizard. He's a Quintesson. And as he smashes the Quintesson, Grimlock smells the Energon bleeding out of him. The Quintesson says that Energon is a term that he hasn't heard in ages. The blood of Soltron permeates all that live in Mononia, and as the Quintesson dies, he says that while he could have defeated the Golden One, Grimlock's not going to be enough. Arriving at the castle after their village had been destroyed, Arnak has been tracking Grimlock, and he's surprised to see Grimlock celebrating victory over the Red Wizard. Arnak is trying to gather all the forces he can to face the Golden One, and he asks where his daughter is. Grimlock doesn't know, but he now knows that the Golden One is also powered by Energon, and he realizes that this world's problems are also his problems. He vows to support Arnak. In his own castle, the Golden One welcomes someone looking to learn from him. He warns this newcomer that Soltron won't forgive her past transgressions. However, Arko says that forgiveness is for the weak. To be continued. So I thought this was a really fun issue. We're starting to see the pieces come together, and I thought that, you know, Grimlock talks like he's dumb, but he does kind of have this intelligence of his own, and like recognizing the Quintesson, and like smelling the Energon and stuff. It just, I thought that was really cool how they brought that in. Cause I mean, if you're going to have a bad guy, that's a Cybertronian, Quintessons are kind of good generic bad guys to use in situations like this. I really think that the art was really good in this episode or in this issue, especially with like the different creatures. I feel like this was just a fun issue all around. I continue to love the art by Augustin Padilla, and you know, I know he's probably not going to get a lot of Transformers work because he does so much for, you know, the big comic companies that, you know, this is, we're all lucky to kind of have him on a book like this. But I don't know. I really enjoyed this book all around. I thought the action was fun. The plot moving was good. And yeah. So Mike, what were your thoughts on the book?
So I got a hot take on this. I don't like it. I started like reading into the King Grimlock stuff, and it's like after the first issue, I was like, okay, you know, this could be an interesting story. It's got this kind of like fantasy like esque elements to it and everything, like this travel to another world thing, which is like, okay, cool. You know, that's not a problem. I'm with you so far. And actually, you know what it is? Here's what it is. Story-wise, there's no real big problems with this. Art is pretty good. Pacing, I'll agree with you, Jeremy. The pacing is fine. There's no problems with it. I just don't like any of these characters. Like, every character here is just a dick or a jerk in some way. And it's like, just, no. Grimlock's being Grimlock. I mean, he's the only one here who I can really say, all right, yeah, he's sort of acting to character, but they're really pushing his, that Might Makes Right personality trait really, really far this time. Like, more than I'm comfortable with. And it's like, just, all right, you know, like, that is what it is. Most of the humans here seem or feel helpless. The leader of the human tribe, he's just to Grimlock's point, it's like he's not doing anything to like help himself or help his own people. And it's like, I need you to save us. Like, okay, sure. His daughter, I think, at least has the right mindset for it. But, you know, in the end, it's like, she's kind of being a dick now. It's like, and I think that's what it is. It's not like the story is bad. It's not like anything is technically wrong with it. It's just, I don't like any of the characters in this book. I mean, is that just me, or is anyone else kind of getting that vibe from these characters?
I mean, I can see that. I don't know. I mean, I think I'm going into it knowing that we're never going to see these characters again. So I'm not really attached to them other than Grimlock, but
it's okay, I guess, if they die and get slaughtered.
Right. I'm more in it for the story than the characters, if that makes sense.
And I'm trying to think if this was just purely Transformers and all of the people that Grimlock was interacting with were just, say, like Micromasters or Minicons or something, would I feel different about the book? And I don't think I would. If the characterization was the same, then I don't think I would like any of them either. I mean, it's got a little bit of a disadvantage, at least in my mind, because it's effectively a human story with a Transformer in it. It's like, all right, yeah, it can work. I mean, it has worked before, and there are some great stories like that, certainly. I mean, you know, the majority of the G1 comics, you know, were that, and you had plenty of stories where they were on Earth, and it was a good story. But like this, I went into it like with an open mind. I went into it thinking like, hey, this is going to be kind of cool. You know, Grimlock, you know, doing Grimlock things. Grimlock being Grimlock. But it just hasn't captured me. It hasn't brought me in. And I think I've kind of like fallen off the interest in it a little bit. Maybe the last issue will kind of wrap it up and or kind of bring me back a little bit. But I don't know. As of right now, I'm kind of losing it, like losing interest in it a little bit. Also, I don't know what page this is, but I'm looking at a shot with like near the beginning. I think it's like the second page. That panel right in the middle there, like in the middle row, second from the right, where you're looking at the back of a Grimlock's legs, and you don't see a joint in there. That kind of bugs me a little bit. I know it's a small complaint, but still.
Yeah.
It's like solid legs. It looks like he's wearing like chainmail or something. I don't know. The art, I really don't have any problem with the art. It's a little bit of a rougher style than I'm used to, that I generally like, but I'm not going to complain about the art. I do like it. But yeah, that's my take on it.
All right. Daryl, what did you think of the book?
I have also been enjoying the art. I do like Gustin Padilla's style for this particular genre. It's a rough, and I think I've said this on the previous times we've talked about Grimlock. The style of this series deserves a rough, art style, and this is definitely a rougher art style. The gruesome bits are real gruesome, and they're, I appreciate that kind of art, for this book, and it works. The story is, I mean, I can't say I dislike characters like Mike is gone. I haven't gone that far. I am losing interest in it. And I believe this is a 5-issue mini. So, I mean, we're halfway through, the Red Wizard, I was kind of like, okay, cool. He's a Quintesson. But we've seen the Golden One at this point. He's kind of been introduced here, and, you know, that, you know, now that we know that he's going to be like, he's powered by Energon, but he looks human, right? Like, he's a humanoid looking character. So I'm curious to see where that goes, but, the, the characters, the humanoid characters that are kind of like, you know, the female who's pissed off at Grimlock for, you know, not picking the right side or being kind of wishy-washy. I really don't care about her story at this point. I mean, I'm mm-hmm. you know, I've kind of lost interest. I want to read about Grimlock just slaughtering, you know, unnamed kind of, you know, monsters. I just like that, you know, when he transformed into dinosaur mode and just tore through that just horde of monsters. I was in for that. That was awesome.
Right there with you, bud.
So yeah, it's just the rest of the actual story of this comic it loses me. So yeah, more of the slaughtering and less of the story, I guess, is what I'm saying. I am curious about where the Golden Ones, how he kind of fits into the whole, you know, Energon aspect of it all. But I wouldn't say I'm excited about where the ending's coming from. I'm more excited about, you know, seeing what kind of chaos and slaughter Grimlock can evoke in the next couple issues. So that's where I am. And once again, it's an obligatory mention at this point, but the Autobot signal or symbol stamp is just, it's terrible. Like, you know, we got to draw those symbols at this point. They stand out like sore thumbs, but I digress.
We mentioned that in previous issues too.
Every single one. Yep.
All right. Well, Charles, what did you think of the book?
I'm having trouble nailing down Grimlock's character as well. I mean, his kind of survival of the fittest, but then he was willing to fight the Red Wizard, but he wasn't willing to fight the Golden One. But now that he fought the Red Wizard, he is willing to fight the Golden One. It's kind of, I mean, I kind of agree with Arco that he's a bit wishy-washy and back and forth. Mm-hmm. I think the art is great. I think the last three issues, the art has been really nice. I like the kind of, this is a different take with a one Transformer dropped into this barbarian setting, and Grimlock does make use of his T-Rex mode pretty frequently. So I like that he's, you know, he makes up for the lack of other Transformers by transforming himself a lot and being, you know, doing a lot of action. And I still appreciate how much they're taking from that Madman's Paradise G1 episode from season 3. That Quintesson looked kind of freaky. It was a very different take on the Quintessons that Augustin Padilla put in the series. And
it's a little horror take on it.
Yeah. I'm curious to see where I'm wondering at the end of this, is Grimlock supposed to have learned something? Like, is he going to come out like more with some more humility or compassion or what is, like, I'm having trouble nailing down what the journey of Grimlock's story is and what it's supposed to be, beyond just, you know, beating up monsters in this series. So,
That's kind of the problem that I was having with it as well. Like, I don't understand what Grimlock's point here is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get the in-universe like story point of, hey, here's why Grimlock is in the space now, but yeah, like just the back and forth of, hey, no, I don't want to do this. No, well, they attacked not him, but they attacked something, so now I want to fight them and I want to fight their boss. It's just all over the place.
Yeah, I mean, it's his motivations are not really made clear, and his story is not really well architected, I would say here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, so it's I'm curious to see if the last two issues can make an improvement there, or you know, I don't know how this is supposed to end. I do think the twist of Arco joining the Golden One, I thought was, you know, her being fed up with everyone else around her and just saying, you know, basically fuck it, I'm going to the winning team. So I thought that was at least something unexpected. So yeah,
it seems like an awfully like strong reaction for having, you know, like this person, like having Grimlock not fight for your cause. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, hey, the guardian that we summoned to fight for us is not fighting for us, so I'm going to join the bad guys.
Well, I mean, you know, it did. I think they did try to build it up. Like, it's not just that one event. That was like like the last straw in a series of events. Like she had a
flashback.
Yeah. With her father, not, you know, it seemed like from her point of view, everyone else in her life has let her down, apparently. So, yeah, I
can get that and understand it, but let's be honest here. Even if you were let down by all the people in your life before, there is a huge difference between saying, screw it, I'm not participating in this anymore, and actively siding with your enemies.
That's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's likely they would go the, you know, comic trope route, and she's siding with them to try to get close and double cross them. You know, there's still the likelihood that that'll happen.
Yeah, maybe.
I guess we'll see.
Yep.
Yeah, right. I mean, right now it's kind of middle of the road. It's kind of, you know, it's not grabbing me.
I'm glad I'm not the only one thinking this, because I thought I was the idiot for this one. I didn't want to be the only jackass who hated this book.
But it's good that we have differing views. So, yeah. But that will be it for the comic review.
Okay, we will move on to Transformers Media News.
In media news this week, we have bunch of strange stuff from all over the internet. Starting off, we have a crossover with Transformers and shoes. Adidas has paired with Transformers to make an Optimus and Megatron themed pair of running shoes. This is only available in China at the moment. No indication if it is going to come to the US. But each one is kind of set up as the Prime and Megatron color schemes. Prime is the gray with red and blue highlights, and Megatron is a dark gray with red and black highlights. However, both of them have little like LED lights on them, on the tops of the shoes. That's interesting. They also have like full on artwork on the bottom of the soles, which is a little questionable, especially if you're going to be walking in these things, because that artwork is going to peel off really, really quickly. So, yep, pair of shoes from Adidas and Transformers, currently only available in China. Speaking of shoes, though, we have another pair of shoes from partnered with a company called Akito. I'm not quite certain how to pronounce it. These are primarily available in the UK, but are available for shipping to the United States. And these are effectively a pair of Vans with artwork inspired by that opening sequence in the 86 movie where you're kind of going down that psychedelic tunnel while the intro music is playing. It's interesting and neat looking. But again, kind of same thing. I'm not quite certain why there's so much popularity in Transformers themed shoes all of a sudden, but hey, you know, if you're into this kind of stuff, then more power to you. The third collaboration we have is with Transformers and a company called Merwalls. Merwalls is a very young company that does branded street art. So essentially they do spray painted murals on walls, but it's not graffiti because it's all 100% above board. And like they partner with like brands and companies to actually do this stuff. And they put it on, I guess, like the walls that they own or what have you. But this collaboration specifically is to promote the art print that they created on their wall. The new story has a video of them painting the wall, designing everything, interspersed with videos of the G1 cartoon series set to music. So, okay. Yeah. No real indication as to whether when this art print is coming out or not. The print is of Soundwave and Megatron kind of behind him over his shoulder. It's pretty good. It's very dynamic. It's very interesting looking. Not quite certain if it's something that I'm really interested in buying or not, but you know, it will presumably come out at some point. Before we go on, how about you guys? Any interest in the shoes or the art print that is going to be available? Charles, you're a big art fan, right? And a big shoe fan.
Sure. No, I'm not interested in the shoes. The art looks cool, but it's kind of weird that Megatron doesn't have his fusion cannon on his arm. That's
true.
But it's, yeah, I mean, it's
not
cool.
Quite on model.
But I do like the I like both. It's also kind of weird. Like, it seems like Megatron is almost Soundwave's hype man here in this pose. It's like Soundwave is taking center stage, and Megatron's just kind of like his cheerleader, which is, I think it'd be the opposite, but it's still, the art is really nice. It's really good artwork. Probably won't be picking it up.
More walls enjoy Soundwave more than Megatron. That's all it is.
Sure.
How about you, Jeremy? Any interest in any of these?
I am not one for fancy sneakers, and it's just, I mean, I know there are, sneaker collecting is a huge thing, just not my thing. But the print, it does look nice. It, you know, I would be tempted to get it if the price was right, but I'm not sure. It would have to be a spur of the moment type decision that I'd forget about, and then when it arrives, I'm like, oh yeah, this thing. But yeah, I mean, the art looks fine. It looks good.
I think it would actually look really good on a t-shirt. It's got a that vibe to it.
Yeah.
And Daryl, well, we already established back in the toy show this week that you love feet. So picking up some shoes for yourself?
No, I won't. No, I'm not a big shoe collector. I don't tend to wear one pair of shoes until they fall off my feet. So I am not the target market for this. And the print, I mean, that looks cool and all, but yeah, I mean, unless it's done by Banksy, I'm not really into that. Not my style. But it looks cool.
Fair enough. All right. Sticking with media news, but moving on to gaming news. As it was announced during PulseCon this year, the Transformers Devastation soundtrack is now out and is available on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Music, and Tower Records in Japan. It is only available on the digital or streaming services. There is no physical media to purchase, which I think is a little unfortunate because I kind of would like to like pick up a CD of this. It'd be kind of nice to have. We got 11 tracks. The last three or four of them are remixes or shortened versions of the previous tracks. But notably, it is actually missing a couple of tracks as well. This is not a complete soundtrack. Like the Megatron and Soundwave boss battles are missing from it as well. So the music was good. I remember when I played Devastation, I did enjoy the soundtrack. It's a little strange that it is coming out so late after Devastation was out. But after kind of reading over this a little bit, it might have been because of licensing rights. Maybe Hasbro didn't have or wasn't. Maybe Hasbro couldn't leverage the licensing rights until the license had expired from Activision. So that is a potential reason for the lateness. The only thing that makes sense to me. So you know what? I'm believing it. How about you guys? Are you going to grab the soundtrack?
I mean, I have Apple Music, so I just added it to my library.
There you go.
Yeah.
My wife has Amazon Music, so I will have her get that for me.
I'll just go boot up my copy of Devastation and play a little bit.
Yeah, but you got to play through the whole game in order to hear the whole soundtrack, right?
Oh, darn.
And what about you, Daryl? Any interest?
I mean, I have Spotify as well, so might give it a listen if I remember it. But yeah, it was a fun game. I mean, I generally don't think of video games when I think of soundtracks. So something's really got to catch my fancy when I, you know, hear it in a video game for me to actually search it out afterwards. But yeah, I mean, it's a cool game and I enjoyed playing the game, but we'll see.
Okay. That covers all of the platforms, Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. All right. Excellent. Good. Moving on. Last thing we have on gaming news here is the studio that is developing the new Transformers Alliance mobile game released a teaser trailer. And it, like most typical mobile games, it's not actually showing gameplay, unfortunately. The trailer looks cool. It's really nice. It's shots of all the Transformers Prime, Megatron, I believe Ironhide, Jazz, I think Scrapper was in there too, all kind of walking around and fighting throughout the city. So yeah, like the video looks really, really cool and really neat. And it kind of gets the idea across, the narrative idea across that I think this game wants to develop, that Transformers are fighting within the city and you are somehow interacting with them and like helping them, helping in quotes. But from the trailer, it is does at least confirm that it'll be released in 2022. And so far, the game is planned for the Japanese market and for Android users. So we unfortunately might not get it over here at all. So hopefully it's ported and we can at least check it out and at least see what it's, you know, what it's all about. This is going to be an augmented reality game. So very much in the vein of Pokemon Go. So. Yeah, if you have time, go ahead and take a look at the video. It is the trailer is pretty nice, but just more updates from them. And with that, I will throw it over to you, Daryl, to finish off media news.
All right, and in TV and streaming news, we've got just a bit of an update. So The weekend that we're recording this, we got the second part of the season 4 finale of Cyberverse, and that is the Perfect Decepticon, and it is now up for streaming, so you can find that. It's up on the YouTube channel, the Hasbro YouTube channel, so you can find that there. It should be up on Netflix soon as well, so if you're not willing to watch it on YouTube, you can look for it on Netflix. So you can watch parts 1 and 2 up on YouTube. Both parts are 44 minutes long each, and you can check them out there. We also have some season 4 animation models from Francisco Gigolo. I don't know. I think that's his last name. So we're going through some of these animation models here. We've got Triptychon. We've got Swoop. We've got Sludge. And I guess it's going to be Slug. Is it Volcanicus? Is that what they called it? Did they call it Volcanicus? I don't know if they even named it.
I don't know if they named it.
Yeah. I'm not sure they named it.
At least the toy is.
Yeah. And then they've got the Slag as well. No, not Slag.
Snarl.
I'm having a bad day today with names.
Snarl, Swoop, Sludge, Slag, and Slug, Grimlock.
Yeah, them.
One of those.
Yep. So, so you can take a look at those, and you got some animation models, and they look good. You got both robot and alt mode in those as well. And the last thing that I have for you is a bit of another one of those stop motion videos, and we talked about one last week, and that is the these are ones that were shown just before the 86 movie. Was reshown in the theaters, and we were kind of hoping that these would come out, and they are. So this one is the Are You Kidding Me? You Dropped the Matrix. This is it's shot as though the 86 animated movie was a live action movie, and there's a director directing Hot Rod and Galvatron for their scene where they're fighting in the bowels of Unicron. John Machida is the director. Francis Alsley is Hot Rod, and Travis Ryan is Galvatron. The real hero is the person who did all the stop motion work, because it's really good. So take a look at that, and you can watch the other one there. That has been posted previously. It's called Discontinued. What do you mean I've been discontinued? We talked about that one last week. So yeah, take a look at those, and that's it for media news.
All right. And we will move on to convention news.
All right. TFCon LA dropped a whole lot of guest announcements this week. I guess this is an order that they announced it, but I'm not sure. In order that I have them here in the doc, they announced Michael Bell, who is voice of Sideswipe, Prowl, Swoop, and Bombshell in G1, in addition to a number of other voices in every 80s cartoon you can remember. Andre Sogliuzzo, I'm sorry for that last name, but he was the voice of Sideswipe in Revenge of the Fallen and Claltrap in Robots in Disguise, the 2015 version. Morgan Lofting, who was the voice of Moonracer in G1, and she was the Baroness in G.I. Joe. Brooke Chalmers, who was the voice of Impactor in the War for Cybertron series. Greg Berger. Needs no introduction, really, but Grimlock, Skyfire, Long Haul, and he was also Stockade in Robots in Disguise in the 2015 version. David Kay, friend of the show. He was Megatron in Beast Wars, of course, and in the Armada trilogy, and he was Optimus Prime in Animated. and Alan Oppenheimer, who was Beachcomber, Breakdown, Sea Spray, and Warpath, and also Skeletor, you fools. And that is all the announcements they have right now. TFCon LA is going to be March 11th through 13th, 2022. And tickets, I believe, are on sale now. So check it out if you're in the area. This is, you know, the last TFCon LA was huge in terms of guests because so many of them are kind of local to the LA area. So I have no doubt that this is also going to be a huge media guest show. So check it out.
All right. Well, that takes us to the end of this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Mike, thanks. We did make it. And everyone should make it to Empire of Rust, the Transformers Live Play RPG podcast, the first and only Transformers RPG podcast that Mike has been running for the last, is it 2 years now? Over 2 years?
Oh man, I think it's almost three. I think like February or March is our third anniversary.
Oh my.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Of course. We were saying like it's a bad thing. No, it's going on 3 years. This is amazing. It's the only Transformers RPG podcast to go on 3 years. It is at once the longest running and shortest running RPG podcast.
These are all true statements.
Yes. So yes, go ahead to take a listen to Empire of Rust, please. We put a lot of work into it, and it is a wonderful, wonderful show. And if you want to talk to any of the cast, you know, they're always on Discord as well. So go ahead and hit them up and they will be more than happy to talk with you. I know Wildstrike, Mike, who plays Wildstrike, he has answered a couple people up on the Discord channel. And I think Matt, who plays Magnum, is has done that as well recently. So, yeah. As for myself, go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. It's Minervion, M-I-N-E-R-V-I-O-N, for images of 3D and Transformers toys.
Cool. And always, we end the show by giving a shout out to our Masterpiece Donatrions. So thank you again to John 4x11good, Dinobot Maximize, Demon Tech 82, and Septimus Solvain. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for continuing to support us at our highest level. We really appreciate it. And that's why we give you a shout out in every episode. Everyone can also help us out by buying some merchandise from our Tee Public store. That's at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We've got lots of cool shirts, masks, and other merchandise. But if you buy anything from Tee Public through that link, that helps out the show. So you don't have to buy transmission stuff. You can just buy, if you were just thinking about getting something from Tee Public and their, you know, very frequent sales that they have, just use transmissionspodcast.com/shop as your URL. And that's it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks everyone for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, all.
Later.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. We'll see you next time.
I beg you, please, please find a way to bring up the mother brain thing from the Captain N cartoon. Come on. Please.
Yeah, that was Levi Stubbs. He was also the voice of Audrey too in Little Shop of Horrors. So yeah,
I did not know that. I just it was just such a weird looking interpretation of Mother Brain.
Yeah, definitely. All right, I will make a note of that for Jeremy, specifically for Jeremy. We're going to bring up Captain N and Mother Brain. I don't think Samus ever made it into the cartoon either. No. That was
this is weird.
Yeah. But she was the main antagonist. Characters. Yeah. But
like not I had
yeah.
Mega Man and Game Boy. Don't forget Game Boy.
Yes.
It's an anthropomorphized Game Boy.
And Kid Icarus.
What even though- is happening? Again?
You know, oh, come on. You were a Nintendo. You had to be a Nintendo kid, Daryl. You don't remember Captain N, the Game Master? The Nintendo commercial cartoons?
To watch this.
Saturday morning Nintendo cartoon commercial?
It's a cartoon now.
I played Blades of Steel, and that's it. But your attempts to get me involved in this are they're evil. Don't do that. Let's go. We got people wanting us to talk about Transformers. You're screwing it up.
We're just screwing up for the people listening live because it's all going to be, you know, after the show.
Ridiculous! It's ridiculous.
All right. Now it's a callback, so now you need to leave it.
A bunch of freaking amateurs I'm working with here.
For Daryl.